Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome to the Business Bunker show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 21st of February. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host today is marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, listeners.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Really good.
You're in a bit of a ranty mode today, aren't you?
You know what it is? It's spring. Spring has sprung.
Oh, is it? Has it got your sap up?
Gander's up.
Has it? Your sap is rising, is it? Oh, dear.
Here we go.
Yeah. I'd like to say a massive thank you for today's show sponsor and long-time sponsor, Phoenix Interim Recruitment. Thank you very much for sponsoring today's show and for sponsoring the show in general and to all of our other sponsors, of course. For your support. We love you all and thank you so much for supporting us. Without your help, we couldn't be here. But we also need you, the listeners. And as normal, we have had over a trillion tweets and I've counted them all individually and it definitely is more than a trillion. It's a trillion and two, actually.
Right.
But, you know, what's who an odd
the,
two?
Who were the
trillion
two?
Or so. Oh, they were the two most important ones.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We are going to read some of the tweets out later. But, of course, we do love to hear from you. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233 220035. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BeBunker.
We're going to try something a little bit different today as well, aren't we? We've got two fabulous guests on. So if anybody has any questions, any sort of burning questions that they've got about catering, for example, you know, it could be anything from, well, how do I do a barbecue at home without kind of burning the sausages? Or, you know, how should I set up my home office to make sure that I've got a disaster recovery plan in place for all my IT stuff that I need? If anybody's got any burning questions on that.
Did you get it? He nailed that in one statement, yeah?
You don't miss
disaster
a thing,
disaster recovery and catering in one soundbite. Burning questions, love it.
Then please just
do
tweet
what?
Us on hashtag BeBunker, and we'll try and put those questions to our guests, our guests on the spot.
So you can tweet me at VanillaWeb with a hashtag BeBunker, or Martin Paul White with a hashtag BeBunker, and we'll see what we can do.
Great.
But we've had bazillions of tweets and loads of emails. And I'm going to start off reading an email that I got from the lovely Andrea Starbuck. And she says, Kent rocks at flexible recruitment. We started this process as we are sponsoring the Women in Business Awards this year with a special recognition award for diversity in the workplace, with particular attention being paid to flexible working. We conducted a straw poll of over 150 Kent businesses recently to see who was already embracing this model of working. And we were absolutely delighted with the results. Apparently, 60% were already recruiting this way, with over 20% considering it for future talent acquisition. 24 of the businesses that replied were already employing over 65 professionals on a flexible contract. We've heard some great stories from a range of local businesses who are employing people on a part-time and flexible basis, many making this central to their talent attraction and retention strategy. Mm. The next phase of the process is to compile a local power part-time list for Kent to celebrate those that are working with flexibility in their role. We hope to be able to showcase local talent in the same way and show how these positions work in a flexible way. This project will begin in May, so any Kent-based organisation who currently recruits at a senior employee level and feels they should be featured on the list can contact me. And that's Andrea Starbuck, and her email address is andrea@10to2.org. Now, let me spell you that. It's 10, T-E-N, the number 2, and then the word 2, T-W-O.org, 10to2.org. You can also check out their website, which, not surprisingly, is 10to2.org. So do check that out, flexible working. And do support the lovely folks, Andrea, Kirsteen, and the team at 10to2 based in Sevenoaks.
And why not? Not everybody wants to be tied to a desk five days a week, do they? 7.5 hours a day.
It's work-life balance, isn't it?
Yeah, of course
it is. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Loads of quality networking out there as usual. We were at a great event last week, weren't we? Organised by the lovely Amanda Flanders.
Oh, the Networking for Networkers. What a brilliant event that was at Eastwell Manor. It was fabulous, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. So really enjoyed that. And thanks, Al Frank Monk, for taking some brilliant pictures on the day.
Did you see the picture he took of me and him?
I did, actually. The one in black and white.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah. He's good. Yeah. He made you look slim in that, didn't he?
He did.
So, I don't know how.
Yeah, the double chin disappeared and everything.
The black and white, half of you was in a shadow, I think.
Exactly. I'm going to punch him in a minute.
Anyway, going back to networking, there's a couple of cracking events coming up. This is one I haven't been to yet, but it's something
I... you made earlier.
Well, yeah, something I decided to just put on, spur of the moment. A Blast, probably the best business networking event in Kent. I think you've been to that before, haven't
I have
you?
Indeed, yeah.
So this is the Kent Foundation. I think it's an event that they organise, isn't
it?
It is, at the Maidstone TV studios.
Yep.
It's on Tuesday the 14th of March, 5:30 to 7:30. And as I understand, it's an opportunity to meet young entrepreneurs, as well as kind of a more kind of general fun-filled networking event. So the best way to book on for that, I've actually got it featured on the Supply My Business website. There is an Eventbrite link here, but they're far too long-winded. So have a look on supplymybusiness.co.uk. It's on there, and there's a booking link there. There's also a curry and beer networking night coming along. So this is Cane and Beer, who are famous for their curry and beer.
Famous. Globally.
They've actually redesigned their company logo now to incorporate the Taj Mahal.
As you would.
In Agra. So, a sideline for them. Curry and beer networking. They've got a new venue. It's called the Costuri, and it's in Hayes. BR27EH, if you want to look that up.
Is that Hayes in Bromley rather than Hayes in here? Hayes in
Middlesex. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 9th of March, 6:30. It's £22.50. And that includes, I believe, a drink, a starter and a main. So fantastic value. Got to feed yourself, after all. And some great networking as well. So inquiries at caneandbeer.co.uk, or you'll find that on the Supply My Business website as well.
Cool. I've had a tweet from the Stove Hub. The Stove Hub on the Twitter is their Twitter handle, and they say, we're heading home at 1 p.m. We've got our headphones on. We've got a cup of tea. We're working on the business plan, and we're listening to the Business Bunker Fun. Can we have a shout-out, please? We're cooking over wood at the Tunbridge Wells Farmers Market on Saturday.
Fantastic.
So do check that out.
Well, maybe those guys can tweet in with some questions for Tim about how to get the most out of your stove, your outdoor stove.
He's working this, isn't he?
Cooking
he's
centre.
Working this. So he's going to be so disappointed, but, you know, we'll see.
We'd love to hear from you.
Of course we would.
Yeah.
About anything.
I've seen those stoves that those guys specialise in. I think they're wonderful.
Right.
I've got... a log burner in my house.
Have you?
My biggest problem is getting up the willpower to go into the garden and use the chainsaw to chop the logs to feed the log burner.
Mm.
So if they could send me some logs, I'd be most grateful.
Cool.
Kent Invicta Chamber. This is a little bit alternative because they're running a networking breakfast with Rare Breeds.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an opportunity for business owners in Kent to go and talk to, I don't know, alpacas, animals like that.
They've got rare breeds. Alpacas aren't rare.
They're not rare? No. Oh, okay. What would be a rare breed?
Well, they've got...
A blue whale?
No, they're not rare either. They've got sheep and goats and pigs, but they're...
What, sheep is a rare breed, is it?
Yes, indeed it is, because there are breeds of sheep that are no longer extant very much, and they've kept them and bred them in captivity to reintroduce them.
So what's the conversation going to get? What sort of lines is the conversation going to go along? Is it going to be something like, hi, I'm Martin from Supply My Business?
He doesn't get this concept at all,
does he? And the sheep is going to say, what, bear, bear?
He doesn't get this concept at all. The Rare Breed Centre is a meeting place.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's a networking event
for businesses.
Okay.
You don't have to network with the sheep. I know that's your normal modus operandi,
right,
Martin.
I've read this wrong, because it says networking breakfast special with rare breeds.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken it too literally, haven't I?
Yeah.
It's a networking event at the Rare Breed Centre, which is near Ashford, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Woodchurch.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to read this, and this is going to confuse you now as well, because you're in a confused mode. This is from Dandelion Social.
Right.
Yeah, and it's about an event, but it doesn't involve dandelions.
Right. Now you're being silly.
Yeah, okay. And they say, Vanilla, please can you give us a Business Bunker shout-out for our charity auction tomorrow, that's Wednesday, starting at 7 o'clock... At the
centre in Faversham.
The Alexander Centre in Faversham.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an auction on behalf of the Wisdom Hospice. They're trying to raise money for the Wisdom Hospice. And they got some bloke that's doing the auctioneering, which happens to be me.
Loud bloke.
Loud bloke, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is me. So do come along and meet us at the Alexander Centre in Faversham, 7 o'clock.
Fantastic. You didn't let me finish the Rare Breeds Network
event.
Oh, for
goodness sake.
It's on the 2nd of March at the Rare Breeds Centre in Ashford from 8 till 10. So I'm sure there'll be a lovely breakfast. And there's an exhibition of falconry. A falconry display as well. And I love those birds. They're fantastic. So, 2nd of March, 8 till 10 at the Rare Breed Centre. Can I give a shout-out for the lovely, another Business Bunker friend, Linda Garcia. Linda and Mario Garcia. Mm-hmm. Linda runs Aluxi Consulting. And Linda is pulling together a fantastic event, again, with the lovely Amanda Flanders, event organiser extraordinaire, on the 11th of May. And it's the Pink Charity Gala Ball, and they're going to be raising funds for Breast Cancer Now. So it's Thursday, the 11th of May, at the Ashford International Hotel. It is a star-studded evening of magic, music, dancing. It's
showgirls.
Showgirls. non-stop entertainment. So you really wouldn't want to miss that, and it's all in a good cause. So, again, booking details are all on the Supply My Business website, but please try and get along to that and support that fantastic charity.
Thank you, Buzzley Berkeley. We've had a tweet from Keystone Virtual, and they say, Vanilla Bill, we'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please. I offer virtual administration and marketing support to comms and creative entrepreneurs, and you can follow Keystone Virtual on the Twitter, Keystone_VA. We've also had a tweet from Travels by Leslie, oh, who says, Vanilla Web, can I please have a shout out on a Business Bunker? We've got a charity raffle and event that we're doing this Thursday for the Heart of Kent Hospice. And the details are on our website. Sadly, she hasn't told me what her website is. Mm. So if you follow them on the Twitter,
I think Travels, it's Travel by Leslie.
By Leslie on the Twitter. Mm. If you follow the Twitter account, you'll find their website, I'm sure.
That's the lovely Leslie Dean.
Yeah. Mm.
Absolutely. FSB, I mean, this was probably in the FSB section, but I'm going to mention it now. They've got a networking breakfast on Thursday, the 23rd of February. So that's this Thursday in Tunbridge at the old fire station. Mm-hmm. And the reason I mention it is we've got another Business Bunker friend who's actually presenting at that, and that's David Takara,
right?
Who has just launched a new business, Bokken Business Coaching.
I saw him in his dress the other day.
It's a Japanese-themed business coaching offering, obviously. A Bokken is actually a practice sword that I believe you use in kendo. Is that correct?
It is indeed. It's a wooden sword. I sang Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick to him, and he wasn't impressed at all.
He was trying to be serious about launching a new business. And all you could do
was take the mickey.
Was ridicule him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was a black belt 12th Dan at kendo. For a long time.
12th Dan?
Yeah,
I'm not sure he got that far.
I made that up.
12th Dan, what Dan he was. Yeah. That's like grasshopper country.
Exactly. Well, you've said him, haven't you? Anyway, he's taking his experiences from kendo and martial arts and adapting them to a business environment. And very interesting it is.
And I've seen that presentation, and it is fantastic. So please get yourselves along to that. It's this Thursday, 7.30 to 9.30, FSB networking breakfast at the old fire station in Tunbridge.
Absolutely. We also met a lady, Christina, who runs Bowden PR, and we met her at the Networkers event at Eastwell Manor last week, and she sent me a little note, which I'm going to read out now, and she says, with over 20 years' experience in the PR industry, Kent resident Christina Bowden has set up a PR agency to support businesses in the southeast. Bowden PR was founded to support businesses who can't commit to being tied into a long-term PR contract but need support and advice for product launches, rebrands, raising a business profile, or to reach a new audience. They're based in Dartford, and Christina is very happy to discuss how she can support you with corporate and lifestyle PR, marketing advice, social media strategy, product and business launches. Christina's experience includes the internal and external communications for the £108 million renovation of department store Peter Jones in Sloane Square, lifestyle PR for business, home and technology ranges, as well as working with the wider team on corporate PR. Most recently, she was PR, marketing and events manager for the Buckinghamshire-based charity Medical Detection Dogs, where her focus was on local, national and international print and broadcast PR. If you'd like to find out more, you can find out by going to her website, which is bowdenpr.co.uk, and that's spelled BOWDENPR, bowdenpr.co.uk.
Something that you and I used to go to a lot, Paul.
Scouts.
Yeah, well, and that. But in terms of networking, the Whitstable tweet-up, do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
That was the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, way back when. So
at Continental.
It's gone back to the Continental Hotel.
Has it? Is it back at the Continental?
It's back at the Continental Hotel, which is a beautiful venue right on the beach in Whitstable.
Yeah.
So it's the third Thursday of each month. So I don't know if that's this Thursday or was it last Thursday?
No.
There might be one this Thursday. I don't know. You'd need to check. But Julian Field is your host. Jules Serkin will be along at that, no doubt.
Yeah, well, February is a bit difficult with that, isn't it? Because this February is a 28-day month, isn't it? Yes, Paul.
Isn't February usually a 28-day month?
Yeah, well, no, sometimes it's longer, isn't it? So
only in a leap year?
Yeah, so it depends on whether you get a third Thursday or not, doesn't
it? Okay. Well, I haven't got a calendar in front of me, but there may well be one this Thursday, but it's always a lovely event to attend. I think it starts at about 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free to attend, lots of quality networking in a beautiful setting, so good luck with that. And you may even bump into Jules Serkin.
If you're unlucky. Do you know where she is today?
Planning another slope off, no doubt.
No. She's guzzling wine.
Is she?
Yeah, she's at Squerry's today.
Where's
Westrum?
Westrum.
Okay. She's at Squerry's, and what is it? It's 17 minutes past one, and she's probably already...
Well into it.
Six bottles of sparkling wine down, I would imagine. Knowing Jules, easily.
While we're on the subject, then, we really ought to mention the next slope off Friday, which is on the 3rd of March. So that's next Friday, isn't it, already?
No.
Is that right?
No.
Am I a weekend? No, it is next Friday.
Is it?
Yeah. That's how quickly February's gone.
All right, there
next
you go.
Friday.
That's what you get for having short months, isn't it?
Is the 3rd of March. 2 p.m. It's at the Ministry of Pies in Margate, which sounds delicious.
Pie
and mash, onion gravy.
Talking of pies, did you see last night? The football.
What, Sutton, Arsenal?
Yeah, Sutton versus Arsenal.
I didn't watch it.
Did you not see?
No.
The Sutton United backup goalkeeper was still down the bench eating a pie.
I saw that on the Twitter earlier. I wondered what that was all about.
Yeah.
While the game was going on.
Yeah, Wayne Shaw.
Took some time out for a pie, didn't
he? What a legend. He's actually bigger than me. He's actually bigger than me, bless him.
Excellent. Excellent. I thought that was a picture of a fan that they were showing. I didn't realise it was the goalkeeper.
Mm.
Okay, so anyway, it's next Friday. It's the 3rd of March. It's the Ministry of Pies in Margate. If you'd like to go along to that, network in a nice, relaxed, friendly atmosphere with some delicious local cuisine. They make all their pies to order on the spot, I believe, in the premises, so they are delicious. At A020 or at Jules Serkin on the Twitter, please, to book your place at that.
And while we're talking about Andrew Knott, he's actually tweeted me as well, so let me just read you his tweet. He says... Hi, Paul. Could we have a shout-out? The FSB are looking for an appointment maker to... if you'd like more information, you can give me a call. And he's given me a phone number, which you won't write down. So why don't you follow him on the Twitter? And as Martin said, his Twitter handle is A-N-O-T-T-20, A-K-N-O-T-T-20. Give him a follow on the Twitter if you fancy doing some stuff with the FSB. We've also had a tweet from HR Services and Support, Fiona Stevens, HR. Please may I have a shout-out on the Business Bunker show, aligning your people stuff to deliver your business objectives. So HR and organisational development consulting from HR Services and Support. Do follow them on the Twitter. Fiona Stevens with a PH. Fiona Stevens HR is their Twitter handle.
Fiona's got her own show now as well,
hasn't
she?
She has. People Platform. 11 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Right. So it's a little bit sort of under the radar at the moment, but building momentum. So.
Early days, yeah. Mm. Still practicing.
Fantastic.
We're going to play some cheesy tunage now. And then when we come back, we're going to speak to our first guest, Mr. Tim Johnson. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
It's up to you. with suppliers you can trust for your Kent business. Get a quote today at supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live, register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio and Channel Radio on this Tuesday, February the 21st, with me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin White. Bit of UB40, Red Red Wine there.
What a great track.
It was.
Yeah.
Do you know why I picked that?
No.
Have a guess.
Red wine.
Red. I couldn't find red and green wine.
Red and green wine.
Yeah, so we had the red bit. I'll think of something green later.
Okay, green grass.
You've got to apply yourself a bit more. There must have been something with red and green in the title.
No, I searched.
Yeah. Traffic lights. Maybe the traffic lights song.
No, that was the nearest I could get. But
you
it
stop
was,
on
it was
red in, and you go on green. Haven't you heard that one?
Don't start him singing, for goodness sake. It was in homage, some cheesy tunage to our first guest.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Tim Johnson of Red and Green Buffet. How are you, Tim?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you, Paul.
Cool.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
that's close right. Enough to the mic. Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, Paul.
He's just wondering what's hit him, that's all.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Your chewing gum, by the looks of it.
No, it's one of my cough sweets.
Oh, yeah, it's one of your tunes.
It's a Halls Mentholyptus, actually.
Tunes?
No, it's not a tune, it's Halls. Eucalyptus.
Yeah, but
not tunes at all.
I haven't seen any nice advertising from those guys.
So you can't sing the advert to me. That's entirely why I got them.
All I remember is the Tunes advert. The guy that was trying to get to
Nottingham.
Yeah.
Then get Clark to turn to Nottingham, please.
What can you do with him?
Stop all this nonsense.
Anyway.
Right.
It's a pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Tim Johnson of Red and Green Buffet, as I said. Tim, why don't you start off telling the listeners a bit about your history? Because you kind of got a bit of history here. You've had an eclectic weaving your way towards where you finally got to.
That's right, Paul. My beginning of catering, if you like, was as a kid, right, helping out in my mum's place. She had a B&B type lodging house, which was a bit chaotic. But because we lived by the sea, there's plenty of fish and all that kind of thing. So I kind of got into it that way.
And where was that?
That was down in Gosport,
oh,
in Hampshire.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that was quite good. However, it was 1981, and when I left school, and I thought, well, I need to go get a job. So I joined the army. Nothing to do with catering. I joined the Royal Engineers.
Right.
Had a good career within the army, 22 years.
Wow, okay.
And in the back of my mind, I just wanted to get involved with cooking again. And
having experienced army food all that time, you thought, do you know what, about time to do
yeah, well,
decent.
Quite, yeah, plenty of stodge. And
he got on his Jamie Oliver soapbox. Yeah. So I'm going to do this properly.
No, yeah.
I left the army and I decided I was going to set up my own business. That was the whole idea. Mm. And I started a small business running a deli and catering business in Barnhurst.
Right.
And it was called The Lunch Company. I basically bought it from somebody else. It was a failing business,
right,
and we turned it around and we were doing all right. And I had a couple of chefs work for me. They were doing all the cooking, and I kind of let them get on with it, the cooking-wise, and I had an interest in it. But I was doing more managerial stuff. And, you know, obviously 2008 comes knocking, and that was a bit like turning the lights off for our business, much
sure,
for everybody else as well, I'm sure. And I had to rethink everything. And
it's horrible when that happens,
yeah,
isn't it? You're going along, and through no fault of your own, something happens out in the world, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the wheels are falling off of everything.
Absolutely.
And it's totally out of your control, really.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So one thing that was doing well was our catering.
Right.
And that was holding everything together. So I got rid of the deli side of it over time. I had to let some staff go. Mm. And I started training as a chef.
Right.
And it turns out I had a knack for it and loved it, and
right,
it was my passion. And
it is something you kind of had a bit of history about
anyway,
hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I found it quite easy. And as I say, it was a passion of mine that I always wanted to pursue. It switched all those lights on for me. And we changed the name of the business. I'm a chef married to a vegetarian. So that kind of made me a better chef, I believe.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, go on.
Is this where red and green came
Absolutely,
from?
Absolutely, yeah. Sat in a restaurant somewhere with my wife. I said, well, what are we going to call this place? And, they've got to tick the box for the vegetarian. So that was where the name came from. It seemed like a brilliant idea at the time. But you end up having to explain it most of the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, what sounds great over a few beers is not necessarily the best.
But it's established now, and of course everybody knows it now. Yeah.
That's right, yeah, so I can't move away from it now.
Exactly,
It is what it is. So, absolutely.
So, sorry, I interrupted you when you were telling us about the fundamentals of the business that you have now.
Yeah, so...
And the fact that you'd retrained as a chef and you started to do your own stuff.
Yeah.
And you started this business. When did you start the business?
Well, I started in 2005.
Right.
And then, after that 2008 experience, kind of relaunched and renamed it around about 2010, I think.
Right, okay.
I looked at all my competition at that time and I realised they were all sort of like bite and fry it merchants. And so we did everything from scratch. Everything that we would do, we would make it right from scratch. Right.
What does that mean, Tim? Sorry, bite and fright. I've not heard of that.
Buy it and fry it.
Oh, buy it and fry it. Sorry, I thought you said bite and fright.
My word. Right, have that experience.
Right, okay, buy it and fright. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, so I looked at all the competition. That's basically what they were doing. Or buying in from, 3663 and all those sort of established people. So we decided to just do everything from raw ingredients, everything, straight down the line, and everything that we could provide for a carnivore, we would do for a vegetarian as well.
Right, okay.
That concept worked because at the time we did a lot of business catering. That's kind of where we started our life.
Right.
And
when you say business catering, what do you mean?
For business meetings.
Right, okay.
Corporate events, all that kind of stuff. We did a lot of stuff for the NHS. Schools, housing associations and that sort of thing.
Right, okay.
And as such, it's quite a female world and a lot of vegetarians consequently. So that kind of fitted right into where we were, where we were at. And that kind of really worked for us.
Okay.
And that kind of grew. And then we went more in the domestic side, more in the weddings. And, we've evolved from there. And March last year, we moved out of where we were, which was a shop front. If you like, into a large unit in Irith.
Right.
And, we've got a new website and, we're pushing forward.
So things are moving on. Mm. In your business now, tell us a little bit about where you kind of, I know you do lots of different things, but, are you seeing particular areas that you're doing more of these days?
Yeah, interestingly, bowl food seems to be the new thing that people are really, is really in the moment at the moment. The concept of bowl food is kind of like a hybrid between canapés and, a full-blown sit-down meal. Mm. And it's nicely in the middle. And the beauty of it is you provide street food-type nibbles in a bowl, and you can have things from fish and chips to pie mash to something sort of like, more exotic.
So it's got a bit of substance to it, rather than just, a canapé. You eat it and you're wondering where the next one's going to come from.
You couldn't live on that, could you, Martin?
Well, I couldn't. And they're always on these trays. And the lady that brings them round, or the gentleman, they disappear over the other side of the room. I've seen you wrestling.
I've seen you taking the tray off of waiters that are coming round.
It is a problem. You go past the inevitable crowd of alpha males and that they're gone. But with bowl food it's a little bit more substantial, as mine alludes.
It's interesting you say that. I actually do a food radio show as well, and a couple of months ago we had a food journalist who spends his time predicting food trends.
Oh, interesting.
And the number one trend he predicted was bowl food.
Very interesting.
So you're right on trend, and you've spotted that yourselves, which is really good. And it's, as you say, it's one of those things allied to street food, which is another trend that we've got going on at the moment.
You can be really creative with it as well.
So interesting stuff. So a red and green primarily still doing event-based catering. Is that the format?
Well, we do. Yeah, that's the Monday to Friday stuff. It takes us through winter. But, you know, it's a seasonal thing.
Yeah.
And as of March, it's the kickoff to the wedding season.
Right.
And, you know, we've got two weddings in March.
Right.
And then it just evolves from there all the way through to October, really.
Right.
And we seem to be having longer summers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has extended into October quite easily.
Yeah.
But Monday to Friday, you know, the normal sort of business catering and events. And
Tim has just written us a brilliant blog, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
All about, you know, the types of questions you should be asking your caterer, whether it's a wedding or a professional event. You know, some really basic stuff like, you know, well, what time of day? You know, are you expecting your guests to eat? You know, do you need to kind of give them something to kind of keep them going until then? And
and what was the answer to that?
Well, the answer is it depends, doesn't it? You know, if they're rocking up 2 hours after they've had breakfast, it sort of fits quite well with lunchtime, I guess. So they're probably going to want something a bit more hearty, aren't they? Mm-hmm. If it's an all dayer, then you're going to have to feed them periodically, I guess, to kind of keep them going through the day. I mean, it's just a lot of it is kind of common sense, but you know, people just don't take the time to kind of think about it properly.
I think there is a tendency for people to over cater, and particularly, you know, for funerals, it's quite an emotional event. They want to provide lots of food for people, but if they're providing it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you can guarantee that people would have eaten at sort of 12.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
they're looking to sort of save themselves for 4 o'clock. Yeah. So why not just do a high tea?
Yeah.
You know, just keep it simple. And, you know, trying to tell people not to go bananas is absolutely the way to go.
And who wants a prawn sandwich on a freezing cold day, you know, in January? Well, you're a Chelsea fan. I mean, you'd eat prawn sandwiches all day long, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
But, you know, for those of us that aren't.
We've got class. Yeah. Who can't eat prawns? Yeah. It's winter. What do you have then?
It was Man United that had the prawn sandwich.
It was actually Man United. I've just ignored you now. Your football knowledge is atrocious. So what do you have then? If you don't have prawn sandwiches?
Well, I like to sit down with a nice bowl of stew, for example.
Do you?
So, you know, why not have a nice bowl of hearty stew? The point about that, that's
some kind of nibble you got there.
That's complicated. I can't prepare that on the premises. Well, of course, your caterer can bring that in. And I would imagine if we're talking about one-pot cooking here, that's quite a simple thing to do for someone like you, isn't it, Tim?
One pot is very easy. Yeah. Obviously, you know, you've got your lasagnas and your pies and all those sort of bits and pieces. It does make life easy. Mm. We can cook it at our kitchen and transport it in thermal boxes, set it up in chafing dishes, provide the waiting staff.
Mm.
You know, that's all quite straightforward. Right. And like you say, on a cold February, you know, who doesn't mind a curry or whatever?
Yeah. Well, we smelt a beautiful curry, didn't we, as we came in, and that one got our kind of taste buds going.
Yeah. I went to an event a few months back, quite a large event, and they had a very simple lunch, which was either a prawn sandwich or soup.
Mm.
But they didn't really serve the soup very well. They served it in little plastic cups.
Yeah.
Bit
sort of cheap and nasty and poor relation.
Yeah.
But soup, I mean,
it was more like cup of soup, to be honest.
Yeah. But Tim and I were talking about you know, on a business level catering. I used to do a lot of business in France. I used to work for a French company.
Right.
And whenever I had to go to a meeting in Paris, you know, inevitably you end up having, you know, lunch around the meeting room table or whatever. But the point is, it would be a caterer like Tim that would come in with a nice tray of beautiful morsels of food and a small bottle of wine, you know, a Bordeaux or something, you know, just a miniature. And you know, I think we've lost that in this country as well. We've got so obsessed with being kind of, you know, PC and you can't drink in the workplace. And, you know, Lloyds of London came out the other day and said they're going to ban alcohol amongst their employees now in the workplace. Mm. And it's just gone over the top, isn't it? Why shouldn't you be able to take half an hour out or an hour out and have a nice lunch and engage with people properly on that level? You know, why does it have to be so, you know, so formalised and boring, frankly? You know, so I like the way the French do business.
Yeah, I think the French are onto something.
Yeah. Mm. You're not buying into that, are you?
Well, I'm teetotal, so it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, wasted on you.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest what they serve with my... Mange too.
But the point is, it's a much more civilized, intimate experience you know, if you can cater for your business function in that way, then, you know, a plate of sandwiches that, you know, somebody's just gone up to M&S and bought and put out on a, you know, on a platter or something.
Sure.
You know, if you're going to that trouble and you've got important clients coming over, why, you know, get, you know, actually get a professional caterer in and do it properly and impress the hell out of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would venture to suggest it's probably not much more expensive either.
No.
And you're going to get quality food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I agree with what Tim said earlier as well, to be honest, about the type of food that you sell, is to not over cater. Mm. You see that so often. People do things like they'll buy 400,000 sausages and ram, you know, cocktail sticks in them and they end up on the floor most of the time, don't they? And
or sitting there for hours.
And look all horrible.
Gathering their own special cultures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which brings us on to barbecues.
Does it?
Because that's another thing that Tim can actually cater for.
Right.
So whether it's a private function or a business function, I mean, lots of businesses that I know will have a summer party. And if you know, when I used to be employed,
when you had a job.
Yeah, I used to attend summer parties, and in fact, that was always the highlight of the year for me. Yeah,
and then the war broke out, and it all came to an end. Yeah,
but you know, so many people get something as simple as that so wrong, don't they? So, Tim, you know, what's your advice for kind of, you know, whether it's a private party at the weekend with friends and family or a professional event that you're putting on? What's the key thing that you need to get right when you're having a barbie? What's the key to a successful
matches.
Barbie? Because us men are rubbish at cooking,
yeah,
let's face it.
I think, you know, you alluded to it earlier, a bit of patience, a bit of preparation. So when you're doing a charcoal barbecue, which I think you should do for authenticity, stack your coals so you've got a hot area and a cooler area so you can sear whatever you need to sear to get your bar marks on it, and then move it over to cook slowly in your marinade, you know, prep trays or whatever. That's quite a good thing to do. Marinades are essential, you know, and they make the difference.
What does the marinade do? Is that about tenderizing meat,
absolutely,
for example,
or
adding flavour? Is
all
it both?
That. Yeah, right. Both of that. Yeah, it does tenderize, gets into the...
So do that the day before?
Yeah, beautiful.
Right.
And then use the marinade to, you know, let it sit in afterwards and virtually cook it in that. So if you're doing chicken wings, you know, nice and cheap, something like that, that's quite straightforward.
Right, so you can take a very simple, cheap cut of meat, like a chicken wing, and actually turn it into something incredibly special, can't
Absolutely,
you?
Yeah. Just keep it simple. And sauces, for me, you know, sauces are the chef's alchemy. Mm. So lots of different sauces. They really do make the difference. And be adventurous, you know, be seasonal. So, you know, August, you can go for lamb, you know, and slow-cooked lamb. So, again, if you stack your barbecue properly, stuff a lamb leg, sit it in a marinade, and then sear it on the hot part of your barbecue, and then just put it in a tray, let it sit aside on the cooler part of your barbecue, put a bit of foil over it, stick the marinade back over it, get a bit of basting, and let it do its thing, and that would be absolutely beautiful. Mm. It's not all about burgers.
I'm dribbling now.
Yeah, I know. And do you know, I never used to eat lamb, but I went to Kefalonia one year on holiday, and one of the restaurants we like to go to had a baby lamb, I guess, on a spit over a barbecue that they'd slow cooked, and it was the most delicious piece of meat I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Killer.
We're all getting very hungry. The temperature's changing out there.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a false dawn, isn't it? Because we know we're going to get snow on Friday.
But
hey, you know, it's about planning, isn't it? Yeah, it's about planning for those summer months to come.
There's nothing wrong with barbecuing in the snow.
But does that present any more problems for you as a caterer that's being brought in, you know, to run a barbecue, for example, and make that a success at a venue, as opposed to, you know, turning up with food that's kind of, you know, pre-cooked and pre-prepared? Is it, I mean, is that something that's difficult to actually achieve on the day, or is it all in your hands, and it's really, you know, quite a simple matter of just, you know, sorting out the logistics with the event organizer or whatever? I mean, is it difficult?
Planning is everything.
Right.
Planning is everything. We turn up self-sufficient. We turn up with our tent and the barbecue. I tend to use a charcoal and a gas barbecue for large events. Mm-hmm. So that makes life easier, you know, for things like, you know, if you're doing a sirloin steak, do a large sirloin.
Right.
Sear it on the coals, get that flavour, and then stick it in the...
And then cut it up.
Cut it up to the... Well, cook it to medium rare, 51 degrees, and then hello, and slice it. So you've got it cooked to medium rare, and then basically you can then, as people come through, you can put it back on the barbecue if want it medium or well done, whatever.
You see? That's where we go wrong, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We just don't think. We're in such a hurry to get everything on there and burn it as quickly as we can that, you know, the whole experience is a bit of a letdown, frankly, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's like anything, isn't it? As Tim quite rightly says, it's all about planning. Yeah. It's all about thinking about what you're doing. I mean, that's the mistake I made. When I first started cooking for myself, you think, right, I'll make this, and I'll get all the ingredients out, and you start, and you get 5 minutes into it, and you think, I should have planned this better. Mm. Yeah, because now that's cooked, and I don't need it yet, and that isn't cooked, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. So that's one of the big things you learn is about timing and, you know, thinking through what you're going to do before you start doing it.
Yeah.
Something else that Tim was talking about in his blog, which, you know, is so important, but how many of us actually do it? Cultural and age awareness. You know, let's take age awareness, for example. If you've got a real spread of ages coming to your event, it could be a wedding, for example, classic example.
Yeah, good example.
You know, they're not all going to want to eat the same kind of food, are they? So...
What are you trying to say? Some of them haven't got teeth.
I think some your taste buds
some of them need it with a straw.
I wasn't going to say that, no. Oh. But there is a bread that caters for people like that. It used to be called Nimble.
Oh, right, okay.
So there are special foodstuffs that you can buy. But, Tim, you know, how do you get around those kind
of
issues?
Well, I think that's the beauty of having... You know, I was going to actually mention more on the barbecue, but it is linked. With a barbecue, there is a temptation, especially amongst men, to just make it just pure meat, and that's great. But you should have salads. You should have lots of quiches and tarts and bits and pieces. Bring it all together so people have a broad selection. And then obviously what you're talking about there is you're having a broad selection for a big cross-generational gathering. Mm. And, you know, that works really well if you have... If you've thought about it, who's turning up? Mm. So the kids are always going to go for the chicken. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, the chicken, the pizza, the sausage rolls, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody over the age of 25 is going to go anything marinated in red wine.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how that's going to work. And, you know, the deeper flavours, the blue cheeses, et cetera. Yeah. So, just getting the balance right.
I mean, you think about weddings, you know, you really have got that.
I try not to.
You've got that cross-section, haven't you, of people bring their kids, you know, then there's you, then there's sort of grandparents. You know, we don't all eat the same thing at home, so don't expect us to eat the same thing at a wedding.
Well,
it's not
just that. I think your taste buds do change when you get older. I think, you know, what you would have eaten when you were sort of in your 20s, that changes when you're 30 or whatever.
I must just mention Paul's penchant for doner kebabs at this point.
Nothing wrong with a doner.
And he actually confessed to eating one, and actually Tenston Twilight have been on the Twitter. Paul actually confessed to eating one in his local public toilets
That's where the kebab van is.
When it was raining.
The kebab van in Tenterton is parked by the toilets on the recreation ground.
So I thought
it was chucking it down with rain, and I didn't want to get my kebab all wet, did I? So I popped in the...
Happy days.
I thought I'd sit down while I ate it. What are you looking at me like that for?
I thought I'd keep it relevant and bring it and rein that back in by asking Tim, what's the most unusual venue that you've ever had to cater for?
I think that was a boat on... the Albert Dock. We had to do it for some great swim or something. I can't remember. But
Was it a triathlon or something?
No, it was just a mile swim.
Right.
And all these crazy people who had to swim in the Albert Dock, you know, a mile.
So you were in a tiny little galley kitchen.
Yeah, I was in a horrendous kitchen trying to feed these people.
How many were you having to feed that day? Was it?
It seemed like a lot. I can't remember. I remember just being
run
just
off your feet.
Well, it was all done over the phone and email, and I was promised a lot. And when I turned up, I thought, "Oh my word, I've got to make this happen now.
Yeah.
It's got to happen." And you know, soldier on, we did.
Because the buck stops for you at the end of the day. You can't just sort of, you know, what do you do? Well, you can't walk away.
It's genuinely scary,
right?
You know, when people are hungry, and if they've just conducted a you know, an endurance event, they're going to want feeding.
Of course.
You know.
Yes.
That was quite daunting.
Right. So, yeah. So try not to hold your your next big event on a boat, because it's difficult for the caterer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And certainly not one that's on the high seas in a force 9 gale.
I once assisted in cooking Christmas dinner for 120 people on a boat.
Gosh.
I'll say no more about it. It was horrendous. Mm. Tim, thank you for that. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Sorry we're kind of running out of time and haven't really got time to explore this further, because there's some interesting stuff coming out here. If people want to find out more about Red and Green Buffet and your catering services, how can they do that?
My website is www.redandgreenbuffet.co.uk, and we've got a Facebook site.
Which is probably the same.
It is the
Red,
same.
Red and Green Buffet, yeah.
And Twitter and all that kind of stuff.
All the same. Yeah. Look at the website. It's all on there.
It is on the website, yeah. That's probably the easiest way.
Cool. Tim Johnson, Red and Green Buffet, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Some interesting tips and insights into the world of event catering.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show.
Will do.
We've got bazillions of tweets and emails still to read. I've had a tweet from, you'll like this, talking about the French.
Mm.
This is Belgians RTW. So they say, Vanilla, please could we have a Business Bunker shout out for our community researchers discovering Tunbridge Wells Belgian community. I didn't know there was such a thing. But there you go.
Is that there obviously is. A there person obviously is. From Belgium the living in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah. I wonder if they do frites. Like a Belgian frite. Moule frite.
That's one of my favourite dishes, actually, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm. So that's Belgians RTW on the Twitter.
Mm.
So if you want to find out more about the Belgian community in Tunbridge Wells, they're the people.
Right. Mm. Fantastic.
What you got?
Well, I've got quite a significant investment, actually, that's been fast-tracked and green-lighted. So Dover's Western Docks are now in receipt of a £200 million loan.
Sorry to interrupt. I've just got to tell you that Jules has just sent me a picture of a pork chop for some reason. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Perhaps she wants him to cook it for her on her barbecue later. Let's hope so. We'll all come round to yours, Jules. Dover's Western Docks, they've received a £200 million loan from a number of British and European bankers. And the whole point of this loan is to create a purpose-built cargo and logistics facility at the port, which already handles up to £120 billion worth of trade each year. So that is incredibly exciting. And what a real kind of endorsement for the future of Dover and the future of trade, frankly, in the UK moving forwards, despite Tony Blair's best efforts.
You're not happy with our tone, are you?
In the last week or so, to persuade people to rise up and take up arms.
Against
the referendum result, as if that, you know, as if we could change anything.
I seem to remember when he was Prime Minister, there was a bit of a big rising up against something he was trying to do, and he didn't really pay a lot of attention to it either, did he?
So, I mean, I like to think we've got a rock solid history of democracy in this country, and, you know, God bless him, Oliver Cromwell, you know, and the kind of the devolution of power from the divine right that was, you know, as existed with the monarchy into the Houses of Parliament and democracy. And isn't it interesting at the moment, you know, with the Lords debating in inverted commas, the Brexit bill, and, you know, are they going to give their undemocratically elected approval of something that actually has gone through and passed through the elected House of Parliament?
That was a party political broadcast brought to you on behalf of the Supply My Business Party.
So, Tony, get back to your nice country estate in Oxfordshire, mate. We're carrying on without you.
Cool. Thank you for that. We've had a tweet from Ash Lawrence. And he says, hi, Vanilla Web, please could we have a mention for ABC Big Breakfast next Monday? It's in aid of street soccer. And he says, thank you. And I'm not sure where it is at the moment. So if you follow Ash on the Twitter, you can find out all the details. And Ash's Twitter handle is Ash Mindset. And find out about ABC Networking and their meeting next Monday, which is supporting the fabulous street soccer.
That's the Big Breakfast. I can tell you about that.
Okay.
It's at the Masonic Lodge in Maidstone.
Right, okay.
What's that called? It's got a name. The Cornwallis Suite, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
And it's the chap you had on here
Keith Mabbott
a couple of weeks ago.
Keith Mabbott runs...
So he's going to be there talking.
He runs street soccer, the
very
CIC.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, good. Yeah.
So any ABC Networks is the website, and you can book on to Big Breakfast on there. So, yeah, that'll be cracking.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Amy at AM Marketing, Amy McManus, and she says, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, would love a shout-out today, please, Paul, to prepare us for a very big pitch. Ooh, we need to find out more about that. Mm. So do tweet us back and let us know how your pitch went, Amy. We'd be interested to hear.
There was an interesting post on LinkedIn last week from Ryan Grist at, is it Angle Studios?
Yep.
And Ryan was talking about how he'd pitched for some client business recently. And the client had decided that they weren't ultimately going to go with his ideas, but they were going to use them anyway.
Right.
So, and, you know, the kind of the fine line between investing time and money in a new business pitch like that, and then actually having the client steal your ideas on the back of it. So, so good luck with that, Amy. And just remember, you own the copyright until they buy it. And in fact, you still own it then, unless they ask for it to be transferred.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in a feisty mood today, isn't he? He's in a feisty mood today, isn't he? Yeah, I don't know what's his problem.
Your friend from Tenston Twilight, by the way, who was
Laura.
Who was on a couple of weeks ago, she says, wishing you... she doesn't mention me. She says, wishing you...
Oh, don't blame her.
...a very good afternoon. And yet, red wine, yes, please, my favourite. So, Tim, maybe there's some potential event catering down at the loos in the public loos down in Tenterton.
Well Laura runs Tenterton Twilight, which is a cleaning company, so she probably has to clean up after all these events. Yeah, and that'll be it.
Yeah, and as well as your kebab fest on a Saturday night when you duck in there and you drop your little bits of cabbage on the floor and stuff. Yeah.
I don't have the salad on mine.
Nah. You just have the meat.
I just have the meat. Oh. Yeah, I have extra meat with chili sauce.
Yeah.
Extra meat, chili sauce.
I think one of the most unpleasant kebab experiences I ever had was getting the bus from Victoria back to Bremen where I was at university one year. Mm. And the guy in front of me had decided to take a bit of food with him for the journey because it's, you know, it's 20-odd hours on a bus. And but it had gone cold, obviously. But what it was a kebab that had gone cold and congealed.
nothing wrong with that, mate.
So, I mean,
I quite often find him under the sofa.
Have you ever tried a cold kebab? Now, that's got to be the ultimate, hasn't it? You know, a cold kebab.
No. Absolutely. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at New Appointments Group, the fantastic recruitment company over there based in Sittingbourne but covering the whole of Kent, who are listening to the Business Bunker show, and a big shout out for them. That's New Appointments Group, and do give them a follow on the Twitter and check out their website.
I think they're actually at Discovery Park now.
They have they do have an office at Discovery Park. Mm. You're quite right. Mm. Yep. CSP Printers_LTD on the Twitter. Hi, Vanilla Ware Business Bunker. Would love a shout out, please. CSP Printers, we're here to colour Kent, is what they say.
Tenston Twilight have been back on and said, thanks, Paul, looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's in reference to your next visit with a kebab or...
Yeah, cleaning up the cabbage off the toilet floor, obviously.
You keep her going,
I keep
don't
her
you
going. That's why she gets the contract. Somebody's been in here frying kebabs about again.
Yeah.
Can you come and clean it?
You need to up my hours, please, because it's getting messy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Go for an email or a tweet. I don't mind which. Surprise me.
Oh, yeah. You always do that. You kind of you ask me to talk about something when I'm not ready to talk about it, don't you? So I'm not.
I tell you what,
I'm going to talk about. ZC Social Media are now a show sponsor, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Zoe and Gareth. Yep. They're running more and more professional diplomas. I think social media. Why not? It should have a professional qualification, and indeed it does. So we're talking about social media for business diploma level 3 here. So they're currently running level 3 qualifications diplomas, Zoe and her team. If you think your staff would benefit from that, and I can't think why they wouldn't, there is a direct marketing diploma, you know, you can do advertising and marketing qualifications, why shouldn't you be able to do a social media one? Mm-hmm. So get in touch with Zoe and her team. It's info@zcsocialmedia.com, and they can tell you all about it and how you can enroll your staff onto that level 3 diploma.
Fantastic, thank you. We started a trend now. Jules has tweeted a picture of the toilets from Squarries, and the stove hub have commented, look at those loos, I bet no one eats a kebab in there.
That sounds like a challenge to me, Paul.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. That's why she didn't invite me.
Yeah.
They've all gone over to Squerry's, quaffing wine, and I wasn't invited in case I made a mess of the loose by bringing my own congealed kebab.
Is Jules out with the people from the Stove Hub? Is that what's going on
No,
here?
No. Right. Jules is at Squerry's, yes. At a wine tasting.
A wine tasting.
But Jules, being Jules, has posted pictures of all kinds of nonsense because she's now wandering around Squerry's, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous house, taking photographs of the loos because she is a bit of a loo connoisseur.
Okay. All right. There is a another Business Bunker friend, long-time friend, Piperis. His father is running a lecture on the internationalisation of Kent businesses. So this is a very interesting thing. I'm assuming it's all about, Paul, and you'll know more about this than me, about the import-export potential of businesses in Kent.
It's about exporting. It's about building an international business.
Exactly. So there is a lecture happening on Wednesday, the 22nd of February, from 5 till 7 at the Kent Business School. It's free to attend, I believe. There is a link on Eventbrite, but it's probably easiest to just go to the Kent Business School website. If you're interested in doing business, as an exporter, you're a Kent business, then find out how to do it.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from the gorgeous Amanda Flanders, and she is with the equally gorgeous Molly Moodle.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they say, hi, Vanilla Web. Hi, Martin.
Says, we're not listening.
We're not listening. They say, we're not listening to the Business Bunker. Well, we're talking social media over lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
So thank you for that. That was interesting, wasn't
it? Thanks. Yeah, thanks. It is a nice picture, though. Yeah. Margate is definitely in at the moment, isn't it? Because there is a networking afternoon tea happening in Margate. So this is a high tea, I'm assuming, because it includes, Tim, a selection of sandwiches, cakes and scones, all served with tea and coffee. So that does sound delightful. A perfect way to kick off spring. Everybody's talking about spring. We're in the middle of February. Isn't it wonderful? Mm-hmm. It's on the 22nd of February. Crikey, when is that? Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
1:30 to 3. Please contact Kent and Victor Chamber for more information. But actually, I go to some mid-morning networking stuff now, some sort of late morning coffee things, and I find it a very nice way to go networking and do business, so that might be well worth attending.
I've just seen a tweet which I missed earlier, coming back to our story about the Rare Breed Centre.
Right.
And the tweet is from Lisa Settle.
Okay.
And she said, I can't hear you.
Yeah.
That's better. And she says, Chloe and Clarence were Bagots, which are rare breeds from the Rare Breeds Farm.
Right.
You don't know who Chloe and Clarence are, do you?
Are they goats or something?
They're goats.
What a guess.
And when I first started the Business Bunker show, they were my two listeners.
Right.
Now, seriously, Lisa used to put the Business Bunker on in their goat playpen, and it was the only thing that quietened them down.
Goats
are... They were my first... Stop it.
Goats are wonderful, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are real characters.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, you'll make my wife very jealous because she used to have a couple of goats in the back garden. But
and now she's just got you.
They destroyed everything.
An old goat.
So, yeah. Actually, she was looking after them for some friends, but they are wonderful. But I'm interested in the business angle there, Paul. Does Lisa manage to do a lot of business with the goats on a kind of networking level or going back to what we were talking about?
No.
Okay. Well, there must be some milk or something that changes hands, maybe some cheese. No?
Quite possibly. Okay. Right, you can do one more short thing, and then we're going to have our mid-show break.
I haven't got anything short.
I have. Kent-based Gallagher Group has opened a $1.5 million investment in a new ready-mix concrete plant in Ashford. The facility will be able to produce a full range of concrete mixes and floor screeds, and is phase two of the redevelopment. So more expansion going on in the county.
Brilliant.
We're going to play some tunage.
Kent is booming, isn't it? I mean, I really get that impression that Kent is really...
It really is.
...booming. It's taken far too long, in my opinion. You know, we've been stuck in this time warp with seaside towns that have struggled for redevelopment. But actually, everything else has moved on around that. And now those towns are being dragged along as well. You know, it's a really exciting place to be at the moment, Kent. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, frankly.
Absolutely. So, we're going to play some tunage, have our mid-show break, and then when we come back, we've got another exciting guest to talk to you.